Good morning. You may be seated. The Hoogsteen family welcomes you to the celebration of life of a dear father, papa, great-grandfather, a wife to Jenny, and a friend, Jim Hoogsteen. My name is Jacob London, and I'm the interim pastor here at Emmanuel Reformed Church, and I've had the privilege to know Jim personally over the last year or so, and though I was 60-something years his junior, Jim and I had an inseparable bond in our mutual love of singing the praises of God through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and so I consider it my joy and privilege this morning to officiate and lead a devotional in the celebration of Jim's life and our covenant God's faithfulness. I would just like to make one announcement for you before we start, and that is that our internment, the burial, took place this morning at 9:30 a.m. at the Thornton Cemetery, which was officiated by the Oshawa Funeral Home with Jim's family. We had a nice moment together saying goodbye to Jim, and thus, after the service this morning, you are all invited downstairs for a standing room reception where you can see the family, but there will not be a processional to the graveyard. I would like to start our service this morning from the words of the psalmist, by which, after I read it, we will respond in saying amen. The word of God reads, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. If you know Jim, you know that one of his favorite things to do, and probably we probably all say his most favorite thing to do, is to worship the living God of the Bible. So I would like to invite you to stand for hymn number 147 in your hymnal. It'll also be in the overhead if you'd like. And let us sing together in one voice, "How Great Thou Art," 147. Did heaven itself open up? And did the angels sing? You are welcome to take a seat. And at this point, I would like to invite our scripture readers up for the reading of Psalm 150 by Sarah and Colossians 2, verses 6 through 8 and 13 by Jonathan.
So I'll be reading from Psalms 150. Hallelujah. Praise God in his holy house of worship. Praise him under the open skies. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him with a blast of the trumpet. Praise him by strumming soft strings. Praise him with dance. Praise him with banjos and flute. Praise him with cymbals and a big bass drum. Praise him with fiddles and a mandolin. For every living, breathing creature, praise God. Hallelujah.
And I'll be reading Colossians 2, 6 through 8 and verse 13. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow philosophy and deception, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of his world rather than on Christ. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of our sins, having canceled them, the written code.
This week, when I met with the family, Joan, Jim, and Doug, and we discussed what scripture to read, we looked in the back of Jim's Bible, and he had categories, and one of the verses that we had just read, Colossians 2, was under the category of victory in Jesus. And what a joy it is this morning that we know that we too, as surely as we have faith in Christ, share in that victory with Christ. I'd like to invite you at this point to bow your heads with me and let's have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you, and Father, we come not with sadness in our hearts this morning, but we come with thankfulness. We thank you, O God, that you are the giver of life, and that, Lord, we are all born into this world by your sovereign decree. And nothing escapes your grasp. And Lord, we are all called out of this world by your sovereign decree. And so, Father, we joyfully submit to you in your will this morning, but we thank you for the life that you have given us in Jim Hoogsteen. Father, I pray that this morning as we continue to sing and to hear from your word and as we continue to recount stories and many different things about Jim, I pray that this would permeate our thoughts. Thank you, God, for the life that you have given us. And we thank you specifically for Jim's life. I thank you for his faithful witness of the gospel to his family and to his churches. Father, I thank you for his faithful witness to his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren, that our God is not only a God who ought to be submitted to and ought to be reverenced, but a God who is to be praised and to be worshipped. Father, I thank you for Jim, even in my life, and his influence on me. I pray, O God, that we would live this day in glory to you, for that is what Jim would have asked of us. Praise God just a little bit more. Father, I thank you for Jim as a father, as a husband to Jenny, as a papa and a man. I pray that we would never let that escape our grasp, that he has run the race well. And that he has done well in these facets of our lives. And Lord, of course, all of us have shortcomings, but Father, we thank you for all that you have done through him. But Father, most of all this morning, we thank you for you and for the gospel and the hope within it that we can come this morning and we ought not to be sad. We ought not to be brokenhearted, but we ought to rejoice with Jim in heaven for all that Christ has done for the church. So, Father, I pray for the rest of this service that you would draw near to us as we have drawn near to you, that you would comfort those who are hurting, and that you would lift us up to the heavens. We pray all of these things in Jesus Christ, our Savior's name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand once again for hymn number 79, My Jesus, I Love Thee. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite those up who are doing the eulogies at this point in our service.
Good morning. On behalf of the grandchildren, I would like to thank you all for being here today. My name is James Hookstein, the third, and I've always loved my name because it was my dad's name and it was my grandfather's name. And that was the name that I really, really loved. And that's the name that most of you here knew him by. You knew him by Jim Hookstein. But not us. Not his grandchildren. We knew him and him as Papa. He was the Papa that would build us wooden boats on a string so that we could sail them in the back creek behind his house. He was the papa that would watch Bugs Bunny while the girls and boys would comb his hair with the comb that he always had on him, dipping it in a glass of water. While some of us were playing in the side room with Lego, and the others taking his pet duck for a walk. He was the papa that never judged any one of us, and that would always put a smile on our face. Whether it be taking over, from what I hear, 100 selfies with his granddaughter, probably not knowing what a selfie was, or showing up at all our new houses just to help clean or paint or do whatever we asked him to do. That's not it. Papa was the paparazzi, the man behind the video camera. And you would always know he would have the video camera by his signature call. And one of my favorites, Jonathan. So you always knew. That video camera captured some of the funniest home videos that I have ever witnessed. Like a baptism that just was too funny for us to watch over and over again. Or while we were camping, showering under the camper when it was raining, just at the drips, just to keep us having fun. Or videotaping what was probably the biggest bath bubble or bubble bath that I have ever witnessed in my life, and seeing Grandma with a dustpan opening up the glass doors trying to get the bubbles back in. And then one of my favorites, videotaping us playing horseshoes and what quite possibly could be the funniest moment I have ever seen. Right, Justin? Papa was a major influence on all of our lives. He taught us the skills and traits and shaped every single one of us to who we are today. His love and passion for music, boats, planes, and cars influenced Andrew to be a pilot or Craig to be a music teacher. Papa always did things the right way. When teaching us to woodwork or stained glass, he would always say, take your time, make sure it's right. He never complained about hard work, and he was very proud of what he always did. That trait of working hard and doing the right thing shows in every single one of his grandchildren, and I still see it to this day. But remember, even though he supported us and all our dreams, if we failed, we could always work on a Great Lake ship. But I think the two things that we will remember the most about Papa, and they go hand in hand, and it's been said here before and it's going to be said again, is his faith and his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and praising his name with the hymns, playing them on the organ or on the keyboard. Right now, we know Papa is up in heaven with Grandma by his side, playing the biggest, loudest, most beautiful organ there is. And I think it's safe to say that from here on out, every single one of us, when we hear the organ playing, the first person that will pop in our head is Papa. That's our Papa. Yep. No one else's. Thank you.
Hi. So thank you all for joining us today as we together take this time to celebrate a wonderful man, Jim Hoogsteen, and our dad. My name is Joan, and my brothers are Jim and Rick and Doug. And before we go any further, I just want to say thank you very much, Pastor Jacob, for having our paths crossed at such a time as this. God is good. And I'm thankful for that. And another person I'm very thankful for here today is William Jones. Thank you so much My dad admired William a lot. He admired his musical talent, and it was a real, we were very grateful to him for saying yes to come and play the organ, because that job is very important today. So our dad was born March 16th, 1935. He was the oldest of nine children born to Sybil and Boukje Hoogsteen. Dad immigrated to Canada from Holland just before his 19th birthday. Along with his family, they sailed, I can't imagine doing that with a big family, into Halifax. And from there, they were sponsored by a family in Thornbury. Dad soon found work in Collingwood in the shipyard, and that became home to him. Not long after that, Dad met Jenny Vanderstelt, and in 1956, he married the love of his life. Our parents were blessed with 60 years of marriage. Our family moved from Collingwood to Oshawa in the early 1960s. Eventually, Dad began a new career in General Motors, working his way up to a respected supervisor. He was always thankful for the job, as it gave our family all that we needed and much that he and Mum desired to enjoy a very comfortable lifestyle. Our parents enjoyed retirement to the fullest. They traveled great distances together, sightseeing, visiting, helping others along the way. Our parents cared for and loved each other deeply. Our dad was gifted. All of us kids have been recipients of our dad's handiwork in some way, shape, or form. He was a handy man. We have countless of renovations, painting inside and out, cabinets, decks. We named it, he built it. We are very thankful for the time and energy that he gave us, and we all have cherished creations of his that we can admire. Dad shared his gifts often. Our parents were able to spend weeks helping numerous disaster relief missions with World Renew. They were able to use their gifts of time and talent to benefit those who were victims of natural disasters in Louisiana and in various places in Florida. Dad was also a gifted musician. Dad was a gifted carpenter. Many shelves, doors, renos, and other items were built for use at Zion Church throughout the years. Dad loved making things out of stained glass. He gifted many items for fundraising events, including items for Knox and Emmanuel Christian Schools. Dad was a gifted boater. He earned his Power Squadron boating license and enjoyed leisure boating, and he often reflected back to his Great Lakes sailing days. On March 31st, when God called him home, Dad's daily devotional talked about the greatest gift. Our dad may have been blessed with many gifts, but we are most thankful that he gave us the gift of faith. A week or so ago, I asked Dad if he was scared. His immediate answer was, "What's there to be scared of?" I was thinking of pain, but his only thought was that he would be seeing Jesus and the gift of eternal life. Our dad modeled the love for his love for God and encouraged us to know and receive Jesus. My devotional that day also talked of a gift as well, and I'll just read you one portion, but my teary eyes and small writing. I don't know if I can do this. Thank me, God, for the gift of peace. Isn't that amazing? All these gifts that same day. It was amazing. A gift of immense proportion that you cannot fathom its depth or breadth. And when I appeared to my disciples after the resurrection, it was peace that I communicated first of all. I knew that this was their deepest need, to calm their fears and to clear their minds. I also speak peace to you, for I know your anxious thoughts. Listen to me. Tune out other voices so that you can hear me more clearly. I design you to dwell in peace all day long, every day. Draw near to me. Receive my peace. What beautiful gifts. These are the gifts that we will certainly plant in our hearts as we remember our dad. And these are the gifts that will define his legacy to us. These are the gifts that we can pass on to our grandchildren.
Good morning. My name is Jim. One of Dad's many talents is his musical abilities, as I'm sure everyone in this room knows. He was a self-taught organist, never had a lesson in his life, not one. And it was pretty amazing that he could do that. And some of us have stories about how he could just pick up an instrument and play it. You know, it's just, how does this work? And he'd start playing it. And it made some of us a little bit upset, didn't it, Sarah? Yeah. He started playing in church when he was about 18 years old. And we figured that from the time he started playing till the time he finished playing, he played between 2,500 and 3,000 services. You know, that's... And he never just played the hymn. He played each verse of the hymn. He knew every song. He knew every hymn. And he knew every verse of the hymn. He could play by memory. He didn't need the hymn book. But he also knew the phrasing of the song so that he could play with the verse of the song. If there were commas in the phrasing of the words, he would throw those commas in there in his music. And like William this morning, he could put fill-ins in, and he could do key changes, and he knew when a certain song needed a certain type of sound, and he could do that. And it's just, he could make the organ sing. I think that was his greatest gift. He didn't just play the organ, he could make it sing. You know, and I had the opportunity to sit beside him while he played almost my whole life. And every time I hear somebody play, I think, Dad would have done it this way. But, you know, like, I always, yeah, there's just certain songs that worked certain ways for me. One of the things he loved to do was sing with his brothers. They sang all the time. Whenever the Hoogsteen family got together, we sang. But I know that when they were younger, they sang a lot at weddings and at other events. But also when at Durham Christian Homes, they put on some concerts there too. And I know it was loved by many of the people there. And one of the funny thing happened for me was they invited me to play guitar along with them a couple of times. And Uncle Ted said, oh, all these old songs, they're just so wonderful. And I said, well, they may be old to you, but they're all new to me. So I had to learn all these songs so that I could play with them, you know. So it was a joy to play guitar along with them, too. When we were young and in our teens, we had young peoples in our church. And we started a choir, a youth choir, and it was pretty cool. We had quite a few people, probably 20 people, that sang in this youth choir. And yeah, Dad would lead it. Mom was always there too. And we'd sing in other churches, and other churches were a little bit worried about it because we played guitar and bass and stuff like that. And back then, that wasn't really in worship services too much. So it was groundbreaking for some of the churches, and they were a little bit worried about us coming in and singing in their church. But quite often, we were invited back to sing again. So we knew that it was a good thing for us to be there. And yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. And Dad was a big part of that, the driving force behind that. And yeah. I'm just going way off my notes here. You know, many people do their devotions, and Dad did his every day. He read his Bible, he read his daily bread, and he had a certain chair in the room that he sat in to do that. He only sat in that chair for that purpose, and that was pretty cool. And some people spend quiet time with after their devotions, and some people sang and worshiped God in other ways, and that's what Dad did. He worshiped God behind the keyboard, whether it was a church organ or his keyboard here. That was Dad's way of worshiping, and that was Dad's way of being one with God. And he gladly gave his gifts of music all the time. He was always willing to do that. I remember just before Christmas, I picked him up, and he went to Link Creek Village, and he played a Christmas service there. So that was only a few months ago, and he was tired and everything, and he didn't really want to do it. And I said, "Well, let's go, and I know you love to do this." And he sat down behind the keyboard, and it was 15 years melted off of him when he started playing, and you could see it in him that he was worshiping. And it was a really special moment for me. And that was my dad and his music and what he did with that. And he was able to praise God through that. Thank you.
My name's Doug. I'm the youngest of the four siblings. And I would like to talk about one other passion of my dad, and that is his family. He was a passionate family man. Growing up, he spent countless hours and in activities that made our home and our family a better place. Whether he was working on building furniture or making rooms and things better, that was something he gave to the family. But he also spent time with us. I went on my first camping trip when I was 6 weeks old, and we went on many camping trips after, and Dad loved that and spent time with his family. I remember my dad in his workshop, and I would wander in and say, "Can I help?" And he would be glad to have my help. And having my own four kids come and help me, I realized that a project that could take this long, when my kids helped me, took this long. But he was always glad to have me there, and he was always happy to show me how to do things, to say, "Do it this way. Can I do that? Can I drill the hole? Can I do that?" Always willing to let us help. I always knew from my dad that I was loved and wanted. But if I knew I was loved and wanted, that was nothing compared to when the grandchildren arrived. When those kids, my father was at every birth, I believe everyone, right? Every single birth of the grandchildren. For me and my kids, he had to drive to Winnipeg and to California to attend some of those births. But he always held those children when they were infants, when they were minutes or hours old. He desperately loved those little kids. And a bit of a side story. When I was growing up, my father broke his back. And he spent time in a body cast. I was quite young. I don't know all the details, but I remember seeing him in a body cast. And for years after that, his back always caused him spasms and a little bit of pain. The grandkids cured all that. Because when they came over, he was on the floor. He was playing marbles with them. He was playing with these little shiny stones that they had. He was playing Lego. He was on the floor playing with the kids. And never a wince or a complaint from his lips. He had so much joy doing that. James shared a number of the grandkid stories, a couple that I was actually going to share as well. So, but he was He was an affectionate man as well, and his affection often drove the kids and grandkids a little nuts. Jenna told a story of Papa would always pat our heads. Yeah, Rebecca, he'd pat your head when, Papa, I just did my hair, okay? Come on. And he'd pat your head, or he'd get right in your face with his hand and tell you how much he loved you. And he just needed to show you in some physical way that he loved you. So that was my dad, and that was Papa. He was a man of many passions. He had his music, he had his family, and he had his craftsmanship, and all of that was wrapped around with a rock-solid and beautiful faith. We have so much to be grateful for our father and our papa. Thank you.
Thank you, James, Jim, Joan, and Doug. At this point, we'd like to invite Jim's brothers up to sing some special music, and they're going to sing the hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. I think a few of those gentlemen are too young to be brothers, unless I'm way off. I guess there's a grandson or a great-grandson involved. I'd like to invite you to stand and sing with us hymn number 705, and I was told that this was one of Jim's personal favorites, It Is Well With My Soul. Thank you. You may be seated. There is nothing more comforting to the heart of the Christian than the Word of God. And so, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we approach this holy Word, asking the Lord to illumine our hearts to it and to comfort our hurting hearts this morning, let us pray together that the Lord would give us this grace. Pray with me, please. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank you for this day. And thank you for this great truth that, Lord, you are coming again. And in the twinkling of an eye, our bodies shall be raised. And we will be caught up to meet you in the air. We will be with our Savior for all of eternity. But, Lord, our hearts hurt this morning, knowing that Brother Jim has left us. But may you comfort us with the reminder that he is with you. So, Father, I ask that you would illumine our minds to this text this morning. Strengthen those who are saddened, convict the sinners of their sins, and lift up the saints to heaven. And most of all, O God, we pray that you would be glorified in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I know at funerals, typically people don't bring their Bibles or read with the minister, but you are welcome in the pew in front of you to grab your Bible and turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, and in your bulletin it says verses 22 to 27. That's actually 22 to 25. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. The Word of God reads, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. What can I say to you this morning about my dear friend, Jim Hoogsteen? I've mentioned it already that I've had the privilege of knowing Jim for the last year or so. And when Joan and Jim and Doug were in my office earlier this week, we probably could have talked for hours about the stories we have about Jim. I could tell the story of how one day before church, my wife was singing, and Jim came in and stood beside her and began to harmonize the hymn she was singing with her by heart. I could tell of the many times I was in Durham Christian Homes and saw Jim in the lobby and wound up being upstairs in his apartment singing through the entire hymnal. I'm sure we all have great stories about his wit, his love for his family, his zeal for the Lord and for the church. But there is one story that I must share with you. The last time I saw Jim was a few weeks before he passed away. And I believe his granddaughter's name is Gina. Jana. Who was with me. And as I came in to see Jim, he was in bed. And I could tell by the way that he was struggling to walk 4 feet to his chair. And is struggling to speak that he was not well. And we sang a few hymns and we read the Bible. Before I left, I took his hands to pray. I'm holding my hands with him. And when people are very sick, I try to keep my prayers very simple and short. And so I took his hand and I said, "Father in heaven, we love you." And he burst out in that moment as we had bowed our heads in prayer, saying, "I love you, God. I love you so much, Jesus." And then he began to pray for me. This is a true story. For about 5 or 6 minutes. And of all of the stories about Jim, I hope this is what you will remember. And the thing that will always touch my heart was his love for the faithful God who saved him from his sins. So what is it about this God that would cause Brother Jim's heart to sing out, "I love the God of the Bible"? And to quote the song that was often on his lips, the answer is, "Great is thy faithfulness." This truth comforted Brother Jim's heart, and it's what I want to comfort you with this morning. Not just the happy memories, though there are many, not just the great stories, though they are countless, but the faithfulness of Jim's covenant God. You see, brothers and sisters, the passage I just read for you, I don't know if you noticed, but it's from the book of Lamentations. The word Lamentations comes from the word lament. In this short book, in five chapters, Jeremiah is lamenting about the status of Jerusalem. And to put it pointedly, Jeremiah says to the Lord, "My heart is broken about what has taken place in my city." And maybe there are those of you this morning, especially the family, where our hearts are broken. And the question is, that question that we must all ask now is, where do we turn for comfort? And sandwiched in the middle of this book of sadness is comfort. Comfort that's meant to lift up even the most broken of souls. And the Lord, in order to comfort Jeremiah, in order to comfort the faithful, and in order to comfort you, says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end." One thing I learned about Jim is that he loved the gospel and the preaching of it. And the way I learned that is that he is the only person at Durham Christian Homes who would shout out, "Amen," during the message. Jim loved that old, old story that we are great sinners, but Christ is a greater Savior. And Lamentation says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." The word steadfast is a special word, and it means a loving devotion that God, by which God binds himself to his people. This is what God extends to those who love him and to love his words, to those who are in covenant with him. This love that never ceases to amaze, this love that makes the heart sing out, "Hallelujah," the love that Jim experienced by his faith in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah proclaims, he says, "His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning." If you are a Christian in this room today, you know that we have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the standard of holiness, but we ought not to despair. God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has provided for us mercy. Not only mercy one time, not only mercy in our baptism, but these mercies never end. And they're new every morning. God's mercies never fail. They are ever continuous and ever fresh. And it's because of this mercy that Christ gave to us upon that cross that we ought not to despair. Yes, we are sad that Jim is gone. But it's the mercy of God provided to us in Christ Jesus that fills us with hope that Jim is in the presence of his Savior that he's praised all these years on earth. Oh, what a wonder and a comfort of all comforts that our friend, our father, our papa, our great-grandfather is not dead, but he is alive and alive forevermore in the presence of Jesus. I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Jim is alive forevermore in the presence of God. Amen. But how can this be? How can we as Christians have this hope? How can we stand here in the midst of death and in the midst of sadness, yet with smiles on our faces and proclaiming that he is alive? And the answer is in verse 23. "Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness. When someone says that someone is faithful, what they're saying is that person is trustworthy, that their word ought to be trusted. Our God is trustworthy. And when he makes a promise, he is faithful to fulfill it. Friends and family, may I remember or remind you of one of the promises of God. You all know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is a promise. And he is faithful. He is faithful to fulfill it. I do not know what heaven is like, but what I do know is that the believers who are there are proclaiming those words, "Great is thy faithfulness." God is faithful to save those who come to him by faith in Christ. He is faithful to work all things together for the good of the church, faithful to fulfill every promise of his word, faithful to raise the dead, faithful to receive Jim into everlasting life, not by any merit of his own, but by the mercy of God alone. And that is what made your father, your grandfather, your papa sing out, "Hallelujah." But the reason I chose this text for you this morning is because of verse 24, where it reads, "The Lord is my portion, and says my soul, I will hope in him." The last time I saw Brother Jim, he was not able to walk without my help. He wasn't even able to play the piano. I was shocked. He sat down, and we sat down to sing, and we could barely get through one verse. It seemed as if everything I knew about him, his active lifestyle, his piano playing, his chipper attitude, it seemed as if it was all gone, stripped away. But by his prayer and by his speech, it was made clear to me, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul." That even though everything had been taken away from him in his ill health, he had lost his world, he had lost his liberty, he had lost his livelihood, but he had not lost faith in the covenant God of the Scriptures. What a faithful example he was, staying himself upon God when all other supports had vanished. The last verse in verse 25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." This verse is simple, and it means this: it is not vain to trust in the Lord our God. It is not vain to seek him in word and in prayer. It is not vain to sing his praises. In fact, it's our duty and our comfort and our satisfaction to seek the Lord. In conclusion, this is a sad day. We've lost our brother Jim. But I would pray that you would take great comfort in these words, that our God is faithful to save to the uttermost. He does not leave us in sin and despair, but his mercies are new each morning. His love for the church never ceases. He is our portion and our hope. Great is thy faithfulness. My heart is comforted this morning because Jim Hoogsteen loved the Lord. He loved his Bible. He loved the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let him be our example today, to tarry in the presence of God and worship him one more time. Let's seek the Lord in word and in prayer and find him to be faithful and to be true. And may our hearts sing hallelujahs, and let us lift up our voices and say, "I love you, my God." Amen. We'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together, a time of singing, a time of reading your scriptures and being comforted. Lord, I pray that we would not just remember all of the funny times and the good times we had with Jim, but Lord, remind us of his faithfulness to you and your faithfulness to the church. I'm so thankful for his godly witness in his family and in his church, and I pray that that legacy might never be lost on our consciences. I pray, Father, that you would comfort us, draw near to us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite you to take your bulletin and turn with me to the second page of your bulletin, and we are going to stand to read Heidelberg Catechism question 1. Brother Jim was born in the Netherlands, so likely 85 years ago, he would have been having to memorize this. And so, together, I will read the question and we will read the answer in unison. The comforting words from the Catechism ask, "What is your only comfort in life and in death?" And the people of God respond, saying, "That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him." Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 682, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Let's sing together. Closing words this morning, we've come to the conclusion of our service, and the family invites you to a standing reception in the fellowship hall downstairs. I'm going to lead the processional out, and please, maybe you have to go to the washroom or you're thirsty, but please let the family go out first behind me, and if you would let, you are welcome to meet them in the basement. And as previously mentioned, the internment has already taken place, so please join us downstairs for fellowship and for encouragement. Thank you for coming. And the Lord's blessings.